Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to see everybody here this morning. As you can see, we're going into a new sermon series, and this is going to really kick off a theme for us as we go through the rest of the year, because one of the things that is that, but the most important thing that we are a part of here is a relationship with God. That's what this is about. One of the things that I was amazed at this morning during Bible class is that, again, I thought about this while I was sitting there. I thought, well, I could just hand out Howard's notes to everybody during the for the sermon, and it kind of goes hand in hand with it. What we're doing here isn't just something to do to make us feel good about ourselves. It's something that to get us closer to God. This is all about a relationship, and a relationship takes commitment, and commitment is something that we struggle with at times. I know that anything that I've tried to get done in my life, if I'm not committed to it, it's just not going to happen. I used to drink Mountain Dew. Just all the time, and you know, regular Mountain Dew. And then my wife started to explain to me that every one of those Mountain Dews that I would drink had like 400 calories in it. And I was wondering why I was so big. And so, because I would drink like 6 or 8 of these a day. And I mean, that's a lot of calories. And so then I discovered Diet Mountain Dew. And I thought, well, this is great. I can drink all this I want. I mean, because it doesn't have any calories, 0 calories, not a one, silch. So I went from like, 4 or 5 Mountain Dews to like 10 Diet Mountain Dews. I'm thinking, this is great. I didn't sleep, but this was great. But then I got to reading that, the diet soft drinks aren't good for you. And there was a study that was done so I decided, I've got to quit. I've got to stop doing this. And there was a study that was done that said diet soft drinks were caused short-term memory loss. And there was another study that said that the artificial sweeteners had been linked to some forms of cancer. And I knew that all that caffeine and all that carbonation wasn't good for me, all that in your body. And I'd also read that diet drinks might be linked to short-term memory loss. And so I tried to, but I haven't been very successful in quitting diet drinks because, to be honest with you, I'm just not that committed to it. And I need to. And each one of us have things that we need to do better or we need to stop doing. There's some things I do really, really well that I need to do a lot worse. I need to be worse at certain things that I'm really good at. And so, but all of that takes commitment. And this relationship with God, it takes commitment. But the problem is that it's such a big thing to think about. Closeness with God. It's such a big thing to think about. I mean, look at the book that he wrote about it. I mean, this is the book that God wrote that illustrates what a relationship with the Lord looks like. And it's a pretty thick book. And it's pretty complicated. And we just got through with a sermon series about communicating with God and hearing his voice. And we would all agree that it's a complicated thing to understand all that there is to understand about God. And so it can be a very daunting task for us. Now, I hope that I'm not alone in the fact that sometimes having a relationship, being in a relationship with God and continuing in this is, sometimes it's overwhelming, isn't it? To think about what that looks like and the magnitude of it. As Jimmy said this morning, God wants everything from us. Everything is a lot. I mean, everything is, well, it's everything. And what about me? What about don't I get to keep any of this? And you know, God wants me to suffer. Well, sort of, but I don't like suffering, but there's joy in the Bible tells there's joy in that. I don't understand. Doesn't it get a little confusing and a little daunting and maybe a little bit overwhelming at times? So what we're going to try to do is break this down into steps that we can take. In Psalm 37, 23 through 24, the Bible tells us that the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in Him. That the Lord, He makes our steps firm. Go to the next slide there. Though we may stumble, He will not fall, for the Lord upholds Him with His hands. As we are taking these steps, as we are living our lives, because in the Bible, the reality is that words mean what they say, but they also have a lot of impacted meanings in them. And so each step that we take is, you know, that's a different level of our relationship with God, but it's also talking about just the way that we live our lives. Our walk with the Lord isn't just a thing. See, I go, you know, every once in a while, I'll go for a walk. And that's sort of a from here to there kind of thing. And sometimes I'll walk the dog, and that's a from here to there, and we only go a certain distance, and it's only for a certain time. And so when we think about our walk with God, it isn't just something that we do as an afternoon activity where we think, oh, okay, I'm going to walk with God for the next hour, then I'll go back to my regularly scheduled programming. So this idea of this walk with God, that's our lives. That's our everything, our living daily. And he says that he'll make firm those steps. He will see us through each one of them. And he also tells us that we're not going to get each step right. And sometimes we're going to fall down. And sometimes we're going to see other people doing better than us. And he'll say, I will keep you firm. And in the end of it, he says, there's delight in it. And though we may stumble, we will not fall. And in Hebrews 4 and 14 through 16, Caleb just read for us. It says that we have this high priest, we have this Jesus. And because of him, because of his great love for us, because of his great sacrifice for us, because of his great mercy and his grace and all of those things, that we can approach God. Well, approaching is sort of this kind of idea of taking these steps, right? And so that we don't have to be overwhelmed by the idea of a relationship with God. We don't have to be scared at the concept of being in the presence of God. He said, because Jesus has made everything okay for us. Jesus has come and he's torn down all the barriers. He's built all the bridges. And so now we can approach, we can take steps to get closer and closer and closer to God. And we don't have to fear. We can actually find joy in that. So the Bible tells God is saying, look, I know this might seem overwhelming. And I know that commitment to this might be a little difficult, but I will be with you. I will help you. And you don't have to worry about all of the faults and all of the falls and all of those things, because I will be there to pick you up and to put you back on firm footing. This next picture is one that will be familiar to many of you. As you can see, I got the map of the Northgate Mall here in Tullahoma. Isn't that what I mean? It's very similar. Well, it might not be exactly, but it's very similar to our mall here. Have you ever been in a mall and wondered where in the world you are? I need to get to Macy's or Dillard's or you know, I need to get to, you know, maybe this is Rue 21, you know, I don't know, you know, maybe the Buckle, something like that, or the Starbucks kiosk. And you're wondering, well, where am I? What do you look for? You look for the star, because what does the star indicate? You are here. This is where, in relationship to the big picture, to this gigantic mall, this cornucopia of stimuli and confusion. This is where you are. One of the most important steps of any shopping trip I go on with my wife is to figure out where in the world am I? Because I already know where I want to go. Because she's given me a list of all of the places and all of the things and all of the stuff and everything that we've got to accomplish and all that. And so I want to know, okay, if this is what I have to accomplish, if I've got to go here and there and, oh, the food court, you know, all of this stuff, I've got to do all these things. Where am I? Because you are here is our starting point. And anytime we're going to go on a journey, anytime we're going to take any kind of a step or approach anything, we have got to know where we're starting from. James 4 and 10 tells us, as does 1 Peter 5 and 6, to humble ourselves before the Lord so that He may exalt us. You know what that means? It doesn't mean just walking around all depressed. Oh, I am nothing. I'm not. Humble yourself before the Lord is this. Find out where you are. Where are you in your relationship with God? For some of us, we've been Christians for so long and come to church and just checked off this and checked off that. And man, I've got all these, I've got all this stuff right. But we have no clue, where am I in my approach to God? Am I close to God? Am I far from God? Is my religiosity just a facade to make me feel better about? You got to find out where you are. It's taking a personal inventory. And that's a scary, scary thought for some people. But let me encourage you in this. Those verses, both of them, James 4 and 10 and 1 Peter 5 and 6, tell us both. If we will do this, if we'll step back, take a big picture, inventory our lives and realize this is where I am. God says, if you'll do that, if you will humble yourself, I will lift you up. I will exalt you. And He doesn't say that I will exalt you as long as you're real close to your destination. As long as you're, you know, as long as you're not too bad, I'll have some mercy on you. No, He says, wherever you are, if you'll take this personal inventory, if you'll just lay it all bare before the Lord and realize, this is where I am, God. I'm afraid I don't really even know you at all. He says, then I can pick you up. Because over and over and over again, the Bible tells us, you know what God's desire is for each one of us? That all of us have a relationship with Him. God's desire for everyone in this room is the same as God's desire for everyone outside of this room. And that is, He wants us all to be in a saved relationship with Him. He wants everyone to know Him. God doesn't want to be separated, to damn, to send to hell anyone. God doesn't want to be separated from any person in here or out of here. That's not what He wants. He wants all of us to be in a relationship, a loving, nurturing, grace-supplied relationship with Him. So, where you are here isn't a scary thing. Now, in this situation, if I've got to go, you know, to this store, I'm thinking, oh, look how far we got to walk. And then look how far we got to walk back. And guess who's got to carry all the stuff? That might be a daunting task, but God says, no, I will take you from where you are to where you need to be, and I will carry all the baggage. I will carry all the packages. Matthew 23 and 12. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Proverbs 11 and 2 tells us that it is humility is what brings about wisdom. Humility, humbling ourselves, personal inventory. I am here. I'm not making a show for anyone but before God, because the Bible tells us, where are we going to hide from God? Where are we going to go from Him? Later on in Hebrews, it says, you know, is God far away from us? No. Is God in Jeremiah 23 says, look, I'm everywhere. I know everything. You're not going to hide from me. So he says, look, wherever you are, whenever we come to this I am here moment, we're starting to become wise. We're starting to become, we're starting to understand what needs to happen. And what steps we can take. It's like the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. wisdom, not putting it in a fruit salad. We can start doing the things that God is calling us to do, but we have to have that wisdom first. So wherever you are, there's only one way to be closer to God. No matter where we are on that map, no matter how far, how close, there's only one way to do this, and that is to take the very next step. And for some of us, it's going to be different. For each one of us in our own individual relationship with God, the next step might look differently. So what I want to do is go to this next illustration, and it kind of looks a lot like the very first one. It looks like the very first slide that we had up there, but I want to outline some steps that we're going to be taking. Go ahead. I'm going to outline what these STEPS, what these steps are. And we're going to look at these in depth throughout the year. We're going to take each one of them, and we're going to see how can each person here get better? How can we inventory where I am on this step, and how can I get better? And how does that benefit my relationship with God? But like I said at the beginning, it all takes a commitment to do all of this so that we will know the true and living God. The first thing on there is study. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2 and 15 that we are to, if you grew up in the King James like I did, it is to study, to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, the reason that the King James writers, there's a word in there that is, they translated it study, and it has a lot to do with what comes after that. But if you look at... if you look at 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy, I was wondering why that didn't look right. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 14 says, keep reminding them to these things, warn them before God against quarreling about words that is no value. Do your best to present yourself. There's a Greek word in there that is kind of, it's a little ambiguous, but basically what it means is really just to try hard. And whatever comes after that, that's what you're supposed to try hard, to do your best, to put every effort into. Now in this, it's talking about understanding the Word of God. So the translator said, okay, well, let's just put that as study. But it means, give every effort. You see, I can study this without giving every bit of my effort when I'm doing it. And we're all guilty of that. Because I can study this for what it says, or I can study this for what it means, or I can do my best to make it apply to my life and to look more like Jesus Christ on a daily basis. You see, for a long time, I mean a long time, even into my professional ministry career, I studied for the knowledge up here and didn't allow any of it to sink in here. And I could quote book, chapter, and verse, but it was a cold, unfeeling letter of the law, book, chapter, and verse. And it's only when I started to really do my best to rightly understand, to rightly apply the Word of God in my heart, that it started making a difference and changing me more and to look like the man Jesus. And I've got a long way to go. But I'm closer than I was because I started studying in a different way, started taking steps to study better, to do a better job of studying. So not only are we going to look at studying, but we're also going to look at tithing. Tithing touches every aspect of our lives. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul encourages him, don't be misled. Don't let greed mislead your life, because that is the one thing that will pierce you. The words he uses in 1 Timothy 6, he says, it will pierce your heart. It will, and there's other passages in Scripture that talk about greed and earthly wealth be gutting us like a field, dressing us like a deer where there is no return. I mean, the best vet in the world, not going to bring that back. So that's the importance of this. And you know what the only antidote for greed is? Generosity. Giving. And we talk about this. We talk about, and Jimmy said it this morning, it all belongs to God. I'll get more into that as we talk about it, but it all belongs to God until somebody wants to borrow something. I mean, am I right? Until somebody needs something that we're using at the time, or that we might use, or that we really like. I mean, yeah, you can borrow a cup of sugar, or you can borrow that, you know, this pot, or, you know, this, whatever. Can I borrow your car? Well, I just got that lawnmower. Well, I mean, is it God's or is it not? I mean, now, and we'll talk about this. I would say if it's too precious to loan, it's too precious to own. So we're going to talk about that, how, and that takes commitment. And not commitment to just giving to a certain level, but commitment that God is all that we need. You know the reason that generosity is so difficult? Because it's hard for us to believe that God is all that we need. God, you're all that I need, and a nice house. You're all that I need, but, you know, a new car wouldn't be bad. So we're going to talk about tithing. We're going to talk about evangelism in Mark 16, go into the whole world. You know, you be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in all of the every other part of the world, every other corner of the globe. I want you to take the message of grace, not the message of the law, but the message of grace, the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. Evangelism, telling the story. I was watching a debate this week. Caleb, I watched it. Bill Nye and Ken Ham, the science guy and the young earth creationist. Now, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know if young earth, old, whatever. But one thing that Bill Nye, the science guy, pretty sure he's an atheist or at least an agnostic. One thing that he said that struck me, you know why he's so passionate? You know why he's so excited about telling people about science and the Big Bang and how all this formed and everything? He said, when you're in love, you want to tell the world. When you're in love, you want to tell the world. He's in love with science, the scientific process, the science method, the this, the science that, and all that, and all the discoveries. And so he wants to tell it from the rooftops. Look how exciting this is, that all of this just happens and, you know, da da blah, 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 whatever. My question is, are we in love? Are we in love with our Lord Jesus Christ? Not in fear, not in obligation. Are we in love? Because when you fall in love, you want everyone to know. You want, there was a time when I couldn't wait to get into a room of people that had not met Vic so I could introduce her. When we were first dating and married and stuff, and I think she felt the same way. Now, her desire to introduce me to people has stemmed a little, you know, that tide has gone out just a little bit. But, you know, I was like, this is my fiance. I like just saying that word, my fiance. We're getting married. And now, I mean, even now when we go places and I know people and she don't, this is my wife. I mean, she's beautiful. And I just want people to look at her. When you're in love, you want to tell everybody. I wonder why we hide the message. Oh, it was inappropriate some places that I talked about Vic. But I didn't care. Because I was in love. I am in love. Anybody want to talk about it for another hour? I will. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to look at what it means to have this conversation, this two-way dialogue with God, to believe that our prayers are not just things that we say to make us feel better, but like Moses at Rephidim, our prayers are taking our will before God and having our will changed and then presented on the world and Him conquering the evil in our life, just like He conquered the Amalekites in the Valley of Rephidim with Moses praying to God. In Corinthians and Thessalonians and Colossians, Paul urges those people, pray all the time. Don't let there be a time during your day when you're not praying. We're going to look at that. What does that look like? How do I get there? Well, we take steps to be there. Then we're going to look at service. One of the things that Jesus said that haunts me, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. We're going to look at what that looks like as from a parent standpoint and a child standpoint. We're going to look at what it means to serve your children, to serve your parents, to serve one another, to serve the world. What does service do for us? So what we're going to be doing in the next weeks and months is taking steps to a closer walk with God. And hopefully we will be committed to that so that at the end of that and through this journey, Highland Hills will be a church that people are talking about, not because of the our beautiful building or our neatly manicured landscape or any of those things, but people will say, oh man, oh, you go to that church that it's crazy about God. You go to that church that's just growing by leaps and bounds because people want to hear the message of Jesus, and they know that if they go there, they're going to hear that. Oh, you go to that church where the members just can't keep their mouth shut about the Lord. You go to that church where they really believe what they say they believe. Oh yeah, that's my church. This morning, I'm not asking you to take every step at one time. And that's one of the things that I want you to understand is that, and that's why I have that. These might be baby steps. These might be baby steps. Some of them might be small steps. Some of them might be giant leaps. Some of them might be full out sprints. But God wants us getting closer to Him. God enables us to get closer to Him. So this morning, my invitation is this. Just where are you with your relationship with God? And I'm not talking about in length of years. Well, I've been where are you? Are you as close as you want to be? Are you as good at all of these things as you're willing to get? And or is there room for God to mold you and to shape you and to encourage you, to pick you up and put your feet back on firm ground so that you can continue walking? Where are you? There might be some here this morning that want to take that inventory, that are ready to say, God, here I am. Show me where I'm at in the big picture and allow me to know so that I can take the proper steps to getting close to you. Wherever you are this morning, whatever your need is, if it's to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, to be baptized, the baptistry's ready. We'll move these urns so that Al can't break any more. I mean, we'll get these out of the way. Don't worry about the urns. Whatever your need is, God is there. He's here. He's ready. He's willing. And He's able to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. As together we stand and as we sing.